broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. My fellow Americans, this is indeed the broadcast for November 17th in the year of our Lord, 2015. This is hour two of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property and to promote God, family, and country on your radio. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide, and furthermore believe the checks and balances inspired by the Almighty put in place by the founders, brilliant end of the salute and one of the great solutions to the problems we face in America. We don't need revolution, but we do need restoration, in my opinion, of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Yeah, we really do, folks. We got a row to hoe. That's for sure. All right, Charlie Sheen, we're getting more updates. Yes, he has HIV. And Charlie Sheen now said on the NBC show, it's the NBC's Today show, that he has been HIV positive for like 4 years. And he's coming forward now to stop extortion attempts by unnamed people in his life. Wow. What a tragedy, huh? All right, there's a New York teacher. Okay? And this New York teacher is a blind man. He has a RP, that's why he's blind. And I guess they complained they smelled alcohol in his breath. It's a weird story. In 2006, Stephen Sloan, a blind teacher in the Harlem neighborhood of New York City, was selected the honor of carrying the torch in Italy for the Winter Olympics. A year later, Sloan was featured in People magazine as a teacher who inspired students with his ability to shoot hoops. Yeah. All right. Now, though, the New York Post is reporting that Sloan, 60 years old, was forced to retire. His termination came after a parent complained that they smelled alcohol on his breath. Yeah? Think about that. A parent said, "We smell alcohol on his breath." He says, "What are you talking about? It's Listerine." Now, he contends that it was Listerine. It's a mouthwash that includes alcohol as a germ-killing ingredient. Do you believe Stephen Sloan? Or do you believe the teacher? Well, the issue gets worse because I guess he made an agreement to retire as opposed to being fired. I guess what happened is not only did he smell like alcohol, but a group of moms accused him of sexual harassment. I kid you not. Now, it's interesting. A group of moms said that he was involved in sexual harassment. And what happened is he said he tried to make a joke. You want to know what the joke was? He said, "Anybody want to go on a blind date?" Okay, well, the guy's blind. And he said, "Do you want to go on a blind date?" Now, I don't know if he really propositioned these women. I don't know the details in the story here, if he really did have alcohol. But I guess they searched his room and they didn't find any alcohol. So he said to these people, "Does anybody want to go on a blind date?" And he was just joking. But now you got a guy that smells like alcohol asking moms on a blind date. Turns out that he's blind. So now the bottom line is, in America, without proof, without a real trial, without the idea of innocent until proven guilty, this teacher, his whole career's been ruined. Stephen Sloan, a blind teacher, in the Harlem neighborhood of New York City was forced to retire. A few months ago, his termination came after a parent complained they smelled alcohol on his breath. He says, no, it was Listerine. That's a mouthwash that has alcohol in it, 25% alcohol, by the way, and the alcohol is used as a germ-killing ingredient. But a group of moms now accused him of sexual harassment because he dared to say in a joke, hey, do you want to go on a blind date? There you have it. And my problem with the whole story is that I think people need to be considered innocent until proven guilty, not the other way around. This is America, not China, folks. What are we thinking? Poor Stephen Sloan. Now, I don't know what the real facts in the case are. It's kind of like Bill Cosby. I mean, I see that you look at it and it doesn't look good. And it's not like one woman said he was doing it. A group of moms said this. So whatever he did might have been more salacious than I'm indicating here. But what I'm saying to you is this. We need to consider people innocent until proven guilty. Same with Bill Cosby. Look, they barbecued Bill in the media. There's a lot of people making a lot of allegations. I don't deny that. Does it look bad for Bill? Yes, it does, in my opinion. But I'm not going to go with this idea that somebody is guilty before they've had a fair shake, a fair trial, a fair jury of their peers to really vet the issue and find out the truth. This poor Stephen Sloan, this blind teacher, a group of moms accused him of sexual harassment after he said he made a joke about a blind date. Where do we go from there, huh? It's just a sad scenario, in my humble opinion. Because we've got teachers literally being involved sexually with students. And usually, it's swept under the rug. It's kept quiet. The teacher just kind of gets peacefully let go. And they move to another school district to repeat the abuse. But when it comes to this guy, where's the benefit of the doubt for him? Where's the evidence that would document what he's done wrong and the proof? I literally don't see it, and that's kind of what I have a problem with this whole story about. I'm not saying I know the truth. I'm just saying, are we going to believe people are innocent until proven guilty, or are we just going to let the court of public opinion or allegations? Now, I don't know if he did something where these moms don't like him. I don't know if it was really sexual harassment. I don't really know. I don't know Stephen Sloan personally. But I do know this, I don't like this media barbecue, this court of opinion barbecuing of people. That's not the American way, people. It is not the American way. All right, Dateline Lexington, Kentucky. This is a very interesting story. And by the way, just kind of a side note here. You know what? I'm totally capable of carrying on a broadcast by myself without a co-host for a couple of hours, and I can get sound bites to liven it up and stuff like that. And I can bring in news that networks refuse to use for literally hours. I've got hundreds of stories at my fingertips just waiting for me to talk about them. But it's funner with a co-host. You get to laugh a little bit. You get to bounce ideas off of each other. You get a, you know, opinion, and it's a lot funner with a co-host, by the way. So I like it when Kurt's around and we can have a little bit more fun on the radio. But I believe that news is important. So this story is Dateline Lexington, Kentucky. And Lexington, Kentucky now lets people pay parking tickets with canned food donations. Huffington Post. What do you think of that? Lexington, Kentucky now says, hey, you get a parking ticket, you can pay with canned food. Yeah. They say parking tickets can be paid with a can or with canned food instead of cash during a month-long food for fines program. The city's, quote, parking authority will accept cans for citations from November 16th to December 18th. The Lexington Herald Leader reported those who donate 10 canned food items will receive a $15 credit on citations. If you have multiple citations, you can bring in more, they say. What do you think about that? We'll talk about it. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live. We're talking about this Kentucky story. And citizens brought in more than 6,200 cans of food as payment during last year's inaugural Food for Fines program. So Lexington, Kentucky has a food for fines program that's allowing people to pay parking tickets with canned food items. That's according to the Huffington Post. Now, how do you feel about that? I've got mixed feelings. On one hand, I don't believe the government should just be fining everybody all the time and generating revenue with fines. But I will say, if they're going to have the fines, at least letting people provide food and then donating that food to charitable organizations to feed the hungry. Hey, I'd rather do that than pay a fine in cash to the government. at least something good's happening to the community as a result of it, as opposed to the government getting more money so they can abuse me further. It's a pretty innovative plan. I got to give it to the folks down there in Kentucky. Good for them, huh? All right, next piece of fascination to me today, brought to you by thepowermall.com. When you want to do business with the good guys, think thepowermall.com. Tell Joyce Riley that Sam and Kurt sent you, and ask about the Gary Knowles red stuff and green stuff, two of my favorite items. Phenomenal fruits and vegetables to put in your morning smoothie. All right, thepowermall.com or 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, thepowermall.com. All right, I guess 24 states are saying no to refugees, says USA Today. They say at least 24 governors expressing fears about terrorism are taking actions through executive order and a request to federal officials, among other means, to prevent Syrian refugees from settling in their states. Yeah, their stand is in the name of public safety. I guess Sunday and Monday is when it kind of gained ground. Now, let me tell you who they are. The governors in Alabama. Let me get this list here. Wow, it's a big list, 24 of them. The governors in Alabama, Arizona, Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, Idaho, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Maine, Massachusetts, Mississippi, Nebraska, New Hampshire, North Carolina, Ohio, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, and Wisconsin. Wow. What do you think of that? Wow. It's a big list. Almost half the states. 23 of the 24 governors in this list are Republican. The lone Democrat is of New Hampshire. It's Maggie Hassan. H-A-S-S-A-N, Maggie Hassan. She's the only Democrat involved. Legal scholars are now saying that the governors probably have little power to stop refugees from entering their states. What do you think of that? Well, what baffles me is the issues the Republicans choose to take on. It's almost like they're suicidal in everything they do, politically speaking, mind you. The federal government's in charge of immigration policy, ladies and gentlemen. Go read your Constitution. And if we find refugee status and decide to let refugees in, it is a federal government decision, not a state decision, not a county decision. I don't stand with these governors. Okay? It amazes me what the Republicans seem to bring up or focus on. It just baffles me. Okay? Where the federal government could be shut down on so many issues, like education, like the ability to grow hemp laws. There's a lot of times where you could nullify now, and you ought to. There's a lot of times where you could tell the federal government to take a hike, for example, when the IRS wants to collect income tax. There's a lot of times and a lot of ways you could literally fight fire with fire and use the 10th Amendment and use nullify now as your stance. But I believe this is the most foolhardy one of all. The Republicans are going to lose big over this. Okay, 24 states say no to refugees, say USA Today. At least 24 governors expressing fear about terrorism or taking actions either through executive order, a request to federal officials, and or some other means to prevent Syrian refugees from settling in their states. 23 out of the 24 governors are Republican, and legal scholars say, you know what, these governors probably have little power to stop refugees from entering their states. It's just crazy. The things that we seem to have happen here. Why, whenever there's something that really, in my opinion, doesn't have any ground, do the Republicans take that to the bank? But yet, when it's a chance to really do something to roll back government, they don't move. So we're going to defy the federal government on immigration when half these states have, quote, sanctuary cities already? What is the state going to do when they got a sanctuary city in their midst for, quote, illegals like from Mexico or South Central America, the Latin nations? They got a sanctuary city for that, but yet they want to then double down on their state level and say, not these refugees. Can you do that based on nationality? Can the states do that? Where's the authority for the states to do that, see? That's kind of the battle, and the Republicans are all united on this. They say at the end of the day, their job is to protect their citizenry. I agree. But of all the issues to defy the federal government on, I don't believe this is the one. Right? I don't believe that this is the answer. There's a time to take the federal government on and a time not to. Why do the Republicans take on the government when it's time not to? Now, I'm not defending these refugees. I agree we got a big, serious concern about our safety. But you can't let the border leak like a sieve and have sanctuary cities all over the nation in many of these states while at the same time then say, we're going to create an executive order to defy the federal government on this immigration issue or this, quote, refugee issue. How are you going to have it both ways, Republican governors? Where do you get your authority to have sanctuary cities and or the rejection of these refugees? Both examples are extremes. What about a middle road that says we're going to shut down the illegal door in America? We're going to have a legal immigration policy that's common sense, that rewards those who come legally and lawfully to America, that truly vets people to make sure several things take place. One, they're not criminals in their countries of origin. That they are not a domestic threat. That they do understand English. They're willing to speak English. We check them out to make sure they don't have terrorist ties, to make sure that they're not a criminal in their country, to make sure that they don't have any diseases that can be brought into America that we don't want. What's wrong with vetting these people and then creating an appropriate legal door for them to come? If they know English, if they can find a sponsor, if they have refugee status, those might be legitimate reasons to allow people to come to America. But you can't have it both ways, Republicans. I'm telling you right now, this is a non-starter issue for you. And why you take this on as the one to fight the government over, I don't know. But it almost seems like intentional political suicide, in my humble opinion. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
A backpack is more than just a bag. It's a statement. Whether you're a student or a professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here is what people are saying.
Oh,
had a problem with breathing. When I stopped to do some walking, I had a problem. I had a heart attack, my second one. I take this pill and I feel great.
I had 3 bypass 10 years ago, and I was in bed almost 24 hours a day, and painkillers out of this world. I started taking this. I'm down to almost no painkillers at all, and it helped my circulation 100%. My medical doctor, and I went to see him, and he could not believe it. There's no way he could have went down that fast. He could not believe it. I showed him what I was taking. He said, don't stop taking it. I wouldn't do without it. It's unbelievable.
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211 and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, I submit to you that the rejection, the outright complete rejection of these refugees is unwarranted. 24 governors expressing fears of terrorism. These are the people who have had no fear when the border leaks like a sieve. And these are the governors that are fine with sanctuary cities in their states. You know what a sanctuary city is, right? It's where you just allow illegals to come into the country and then you protect them. So we're going to allow illegals to come into our country, but to protect them in sanctuary cities on one hand. And on the other hand, we're going to reject these refugees. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're schizophrenic in our approach. It's unacceptable. Okay? I agree that fears of terrorism are warranted. But I'm also telling you that, you know what? The legal scholars are saying governors probably have little power to stop refugees from entering their states. It's the federal government constitutionally that makes immigration policy. And I think rejection of refugees and sanctuary cities are both two extremes. I think that what we need to do is spend our time saying, hey, how can we make sure that people do not come to America illegally, period, end of paragraph. How do we uphold the law in that regard? How do we secondarily then separate a terrorist from a refugee? In other words, somebody who means us harm versus somebody who truly needs our help and our love and our service and our kindness. How do we achieve that? I submit to you that it can be done. I submit to you that there are ways to vet these refugees. Okay? I submit to you that there's a way to get this done. One of the ways is before people come to America, they need to learn English. We need to check the backgrounds of who they are. Are they criminals in their own country? Have they been kind to people in their country? How have they behaved? Who are they? All right? Well, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is encouraging their members, and I'm one of them, to be kind to the refugees and to assist the refugees. What do you think about that? members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints are being encouraged to provide assistance to refugees around the world. The church's highest governing body sent a letter dated October 27, 2015, to church leaders. The letter is to be read in the main general congregational sacrament meeting or church service around the globe. What do you think? Is there a way to know who's safe and who's not? I don't think there's a way to know perfectly. No, I don't. But I do believe we can take a chance if we turn to God, and I do believe we can be given guidance by God and by using all the capabilities. Look, they can tell you everything about Sam Bushman. They know about these refugees, whether they're terrorists or not. They can tell you. We can vet these people extremely well, and we can provide homes for those who truly need them. There's plenty of room in America, folks. I'm going to say that again. There's plenty of room in America, people. Are we going to be Christians or not? What do Christians say? I know you're a terrorist, and therefore you're not getting any help, bar none. Period. Kick them out. Let them die. Let God sort them out. See, I don't think so. I reject that notion. Certainly, we should not be foolish, but we should be kind in our approach. We should vet these people, find out who they are, and find out ways to help those who truly need help. This is a serious issue because legal scholars are saying, hey, these governors don't have a leg to stand on. And it baffles me why these governors take the attitude they do. They don't stand up against government education. They don't stand up against Common Core. They don't stand up against, you know, forced government vaccinations. They don't stand up against government health care, which is clearly unconstitutional, which is clearly socialism. They don't stand up against all kinds of government funding. But yet they just roll over. And now when it comes to this, they're standing up. There's one area that the federal government does have jurisdiction over, and it's immigration, folks. Like or dislike their views on immigration. I don't like it when they let the border leak like a sieve and create sanctuary cities. I also don't like it when they don't want to help refugees who need help. And somebody would say, Sam, you're just so ignorant. All these refugees are nothing but Trojan horses or something. That's what Trump is saying. I don't think so. I do believe there are legitimate refugees that are suffering. How can we create a legal way for them to come and get the love and protection from the most Christian nation on the earth? How do we help that happen? There's ways to create sponsorships for some of these people. We ought to do this, by the way, for the white Afrikaners who are being systematically murdered in their own countries, too. White African farmers are being murdered in droves. How do we help them come to America? See, are we just immigration entirely? Where's our Christian attitude? I don't think it's too hard to vet these people. And they can tell you if Sam Bushman owes a penny to the IRS. They can tell you where I live, what I do, everything about me. And can they tell you about the refugees? What if we bring them to a place and let them learn English? Let them learn about the freest nation in the history of the world. Tell them the stories of freedom. Teach them about God, family, and country. Teach them about the importance of life, liberty, and property. And teach them the American ideal. Yeah, they might live in the real just like the rest of us, but you know what? We need to teach them the ideal. There are ways for solutions here, folks. Now, some would say, Sam, you're not even hard on immigration. I'm hard enough. I don't allow illegality. I reject illegal. But I also know that we have to be kind Christians. And that's a very difficult balance. But I know this, members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints are encouraged to provide assistance to refugees around the world. There's got to be a way to have a balance and get that done. Protect ourselves and do the kind Christian thing. And that's what I advocate for. All right, you're feeling woozy, ladies and gentlemen? Woozy. Yeah. It may be what's called digital motion sickness. DMS, if you will, digital motion sickness. It's also sometimes called cyber sickness. You say, what the heck is all that about, Sam? If you are watching computer-generated mayhem in the latest action film or you're scrolling quickly on your smartphone, you may start to feel a little bit weird, kind of a creeping headache maybe. Maybe a dull headache, maybe a little dizziness, maybe a little creeping nausea. No, it's not something you ate, folks. A peculiar side effect of the 21st century's continued digital interaction is something called motion sickness. It causes people to feel woozy. It's a fundamental problem that's been kind of ignored by the tech industry, if you will. And I guess they call it a natural response to an unnatural environment. Digital motion sickness, known among medical professionals as what they call visually induced motion sickness. And it's a mixed match between sensory inputs, is how they explain it. Okay. Now, here's how it works. Your sense of balance is different than your other senses in that it has a lot of different inputs, okay? When those inputs do not agree, that's when you start to feel sick or you feel a bout of nausea coming on. Now, in traditional motion sickness, like car sickness or something, the mismatch occurs because you feel movement in your muscles and in your joints, as well in the intricate core of your inner ear, but you do not see that same motion. In other words, you feel motion, but you don't see it. Therefore, you get sick. That's why when you're in your car and you look out the front windshield and you keep your eyes on the road, then you see the movement as well as feel it, and you got a match of your sensories, and you don't have a problem. That's why if you get up on the deck of a ship and you look out, you know your visual matches your feeling, and you're okay. But with digital motion sickness, it's just the opposite. What happens is you see movement, like the turns and twists shown in a movie or video game. It's a car chase in a sense that this time you do not feel. Wow. The result's the same. You have sensory conflict that makes you sick. Does it happen to you?
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
We're talking about this new sickness called digital motion sickness, or also sometimes called cyber sickness. It can happen to anyone, ladies and gentlemen, even if you're somebody that is not prone to motion sickness in cars, boats, or airplanes. Believe it or not, this digital motion sickness can affect 50 to 80% of the population. It depends on the fidelity of the digital content and how it's presented. Studies show that women are more susceptible than men to this, as are those with a history of migraines and or concussions. Anecdotally, they say people with type A personalities are much more vulnerable. Often, they say symptoms are subtle. As a result, many people with, quote, digital motion sickness do not know what is causing their discomfort. Oftentimes, they chalk it up to, maybe I got vertigo, eye strain, stomach upset, something like that. None of this is new to the military, though, folks. They've long known about the sickness that even seasoned pilots can feel in flight simulators. And the problem's only gotten worse as these simulators get better and better and better. It's the same mind-bending artistry that is now pervading television, film, and it even underlies the way the icons seem to float on your screen in your phone. Quick cuts, rapid panning, and first-person view camera angles intensify the effect. The idea is to get audiences to feel like participants in the action, rather than outside observers of the action. It makes viewers, quote, more connected to the story, or it makes them hurl. Because in the film, there's no real horizon to look at. Believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, there's a website that rates movies on how likely they are to make you sick. Wow. Now, I guess the makers of these headset reality, headsets, have said that digital motion sickness is one of their biggest hurdles. Now, have you ever been watching a movie and it just makes you want to hurl? Believe it or not, if you go to the website moviehurl.com, I kid you, this is not a joke. You go to the website moviehurl.com, and it rates movies on how likely they are to make you puke or make you hurl, make you sick. Digital motion sickness is real. They say the more realistic something is, the more likely that you're going to get sick. No one got sick playing Pac-Man, for example, but the modern games can make people sick. Balance specialists said the problem can often be improved by what they call habitual watching. In other words, if you play the game or watch the movie in short spurts till you start to feel sick, you quit. Then you do it again and quit and do it again and quit. And you can build up a kind of an immunity to it. They say people usually respond well if we have them do it in a very controlled, conservative way. But the problem with that is it's not a good idea to train your brain to ignore conflicting sensory stimuli because it might inhibit your ability to act appropriately in the real world. There are certainly concerns, they say, particularly when it comes to long-term exposure. Wow. They've tested more than 1,000 subjects in virtual reality situations. And they say that the after effects can be strong and long-lasting. You can work on it with tracking things with your eyes, hand-eye coordination. But they're also concerned that a kid might play a video game. Let's say a teenager, 16 years old, driving a car. Might play a video game, get their senses off, go drive a car, and wreck. Believe it or not, in the military, you can be grounded after a virtual reality simulator session because they understand this negative effect. Anyway, thought I'd bring that to your attention. What a weird sickness, huh? I think we need a whole lot less interaction with the digital folks and a whole lot more plunging ourselves into the real. I'm not against technology. I'm a technology guy every day, all day. I run my own nationally syndicated radio network. I do a nationally syndicated talk show. I do the talking and run the board at the same time. I'm plenty technical. And I work IT for a living all day. I get the technical aspect, but I'm also convinced that we need to pull away from it, that we need to have life's balance there, folks. Less tech in your life is good. Even Vincent Finelli, good friend of mine, USAPrepares.com radio talk show, and he's basically saying, hey, when you come to the meetup meetings and we talk about freedom, don't bring your cell phone. We don't want to be spied on. We don't want everybody distracted. We want to focus here. And it's true in your personal relationships also. Many times the phones and the digital and the movies and the entertainment and what get in the way of your life. Be very careful not to let that happen, please. But look out when you're feeling woozy, man. It may be cyber sickness or digital motion sickness. All right. Check out the website moviehurl.com. If you want to, if you intentionally want to make yourself puke watching movies or if you want to see this effect and you want to, like, experiment with it, I would say don't cross your eyes. Don't try it at home. But, you know, people do strange things. Go to moviehurl.com. The same logic that can be told you which movies would make you sick, so don't watch them, can be used to say, well, I'm going to watch those very movies intentionally. I would recommend highly against it. But, you know, this is America, not China. Hey, do you want some tips for staying healthy this fall? ABC News has them. They say tip one, ready for this? Is sleep. Wow. What do you think of that? They say you have 4 times the odds of getting a cold if you have less than 6 hours of sleep a night. In other words, get plenty of sleep. Believe it or not. Tip two, they say, take a probiotic supplement every day. That's interesting, huh? Tip two, take a probiotic supplement every day. You can cut your chances of getting sick by 35%. By taking a probiotic supplement every single day. Tip three, they say take zinc. Research shows that taking at least 75 milligrams of zinc within the first 24 hours of that cold symptom, will help you get over that cold 40% faster and it'll boost your immune system as well. So I'm going to give you the three tips again. Tips for staying healthy this fall, ABC News. One, sleep. Two, take a probiotic supplement every day. Tip three, take zinc. What do you think of that idea? Is that good advice? I think so. Take a probiotic supplement every day. And three, take zinc. Kind of cool. I mean, they're not even telling you to take drugs. Right? I'm kind of impressed with him. I guess a top doctor, speaking of this, I told you to stay away from those electronics a little bit. You know, you got an airplane mode for your cell phone and stuff like that. And you got a silence mode and all that kind of stuff. Well, now the doctors, a top doctor says, we ought to have a bedtime mode for electronic devices. What would the bedtime mode do? Well, when that dude went into bedtime mode, his logic, this doctor's logic would be you would set it so that it would be on a timer and say like 10 o'clock, your phone would go into bedtime mode till 6 a.m. And what it would do is it would not interrupt you while you're sleeping. Think it's a good idea? But a leading doctor is saying electronics like smartphones, e-readers, tablets, etc. should have an automatic nighttime mode. The mode would stop the electronics from disrupting a person's sleep. I think he's actually onto something. I kid you not. I think it's a good idea. I'm not saying that, I'm not suggesting that it would be a forced thing. But I think it's good that it would stop interrupting people's sleep. I think it's a good idea. I think it's a real good idea. We don't have that yet. We got airplane mode. But I kind of like the idea that it would, you know, I oftentimes my digital device interrupts my sleep. Does that happen to you, folks? All right. Anyway, we thought we'd tell you about that. Top doctor suggests bedtime mode. Pandora bought RDO's assets. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Cool stuff on your radio, man. Kurt will be back tomorrow with me as well. Hopefully that was a bunch of hard-hitting educational news the networks refused to use with a viewpoint of the protection of life, liberty, and property and God, family, and country in mind. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. Hopefully it was educational and entertaining. You want to turn your phone into a radio? Smile and dial 712-432-5339. That ought to get it done. 712-432-5339. LibertyRoundtable.com is our website. Please thank the radio stations, AM and FM, up and down the line for carrying the broadcast. Please thank RepublicBroadcasting.org for doing the same. And this is Liberty Roundtable Live, LibertyRoundtable.com. We can restore America. This nation shall endure.